before you see, just say, hey, it's great to see you at church. Say that to somebody. Say, it's great to see you today at home church. You may be seated. Kids in the room, there is kids church with Pastor Vincent. So Pastor Vincent is in the back. So if there is kids in the rooms, ages 5 to 11 or whatever that looks like for you, I probably got that wrong, but feel free to connect with Vincent. If not, you can join us for our service. You should have sermon notes with you today. It's an opportunity to hear God's word for today, but also to apply God's word to your life. And so we encourage you to take sermon notes. If you want a digital copy, you can get it on our church app, and it's called Home Church. There's an English translation, of course, for that. And we encourage you to join us as we go through God's word together. We are in a new sermon series called Spirit-Led, that we are called to be a Spirit-Led people and a Spirit-Led church. When we moved to the Lower Mainland from the Okanagan, I had this opportunity to get a personal fitness coach. I liked going to the gym, but when I got a new gym in the Lower Mainland, I got these free sessions to have a personal trainer. Now, I don't know about you, if you like going to the gym or not. Some of us are like, well, do we really need a personal trainer? Like, you go to YouTube, you can find anything you want on YouTube, or you could go to AI, AI will give you all the good things. Or, you know, do I really need to pay for a personal trainer when YouTube is for free? You know, like, why would I do that? Or I can just go for a walk. Why would I want to pay for a gym? But in any context, I had these free sessions, and to have a personal trainer in my life actually changed my life after playing, you know, a lifetime of sports. He taught me how to count my calories. He gave me nutrition plans. He gave me workout plans. He taught me about kinetic chain. He looked at what my weak points are, my strong points are, and it was a great experience, even to the fact that I became a personal trainer myself, and all my boys want me to be their personal trainer in those ways. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, let me put it this way. The Holy Spirit is like a personal trainer for your soul. Now, when you go to the gym and you work out well, you become hungry. You want to eat better food. You sleep better at night. Your mental health is better. When you work out physically, you feel better about yourself. You feel stronger. In the same way is with your soul. When you have a personal trainer like the Holy Spirit, when you are overwhelmed, you can bring your concerns to the Holy Spirit. When you are anxious, you can experience God's peace. Last week, we talked about who the Holy Spirit is. If you did not experience that message, we encourage you to get the notes or to listen to it online. But the Holy Spirit is like a personal trainer for your soul. He empowers you. He trains you. He convicts of sin. He supports us. He's a relational resource to you and me, like a personal trainer does for our lives. My personal trainer said that at the time that I got one, I was the next generation's director for the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. So I was traveling a lot for work, and I was eating a lot of stuff that teenagers eat all the time, like cardboard pizza and cheesy, greasy hamburgers. And so, you know, he would always text me when I'm traveling, Andy, stay away from the pizza. You know, you got to have a salad, get some greens in you, you know, have some chicken. He was always there. I'm like, thank you, past, you know, trainer Brian. But the Holy Spirit is fully accessed to us in our lives. Paul puts it this way of what it means to be Spirit-led. He says physical training have of some value, like I mentioned to you. But godliness, when the Holy Spirit fills us, has value for all things, holding promise to both the present life that we live in and the life to come when we have in Jesus Christ in eternity. Meaning that when the Holy Spirit fills us, he gives us godliness or rightness or healthy ways of all things. This doesn't mean just a supernatural mystery of the Holy Spirit somehow coming upon you and that's it. No, he actually fills you with his presence to give you perspective in your marriage, with your friends, with your outlook on life, with your kids, how you conduct your life. He says that godliness has value for all things. So we are called to train ourselves to seek the Holy Spirit. We are called to pursue what it means to be godly. Now, let me put it this way. When you work out physically, have any of you heard about pre-workout before? Or protein? Or macros? You know, these are things that you hear about when you work out. But spiritually speaking, you don't need to take pre-workout. Pre-workout is like a substance that you take, and it is the equivalent of having 3 cups of coffee in 1 scoop. And it gives you like extra burst of energy for the gym. We encourage you not to take that stuff. In fact, if you want to know what to take, just talk to a personal trainer, because that actually helps you out. Don't go to YouTube. It will show you all the things that you probably shouldn't take. But in any context, when you partner with the Holy Spirit, you are not alone in this journey to be godly. He empowers us. He infills us. You don't have to be a spiritual pre-workout person where you're like, oh, I got to muster myself up to worship God. Or I got to just show up to church and then I'll be better. No, that's not the case. The Holy Spirit is with us at all times. And we partner with what God is already doing when we seek Him. Okay? When we seek the Holy Spirit and what He's doing, He shapes us to be Spirit-led. So here's the question. What does it mean to be Spirit-led? What does it mean to have a spiritual coach like the Holy Spirit? What does it mean to have a fitness coach for your soul? Well, the first thing that we see here is being Spirit-led is actually abiding in Christ. Jesus put it this way to His first followers of Jesus that were closest friends of Him. He says, remain in Me, and I will also remain in you. No branch, He compares it to a tree, can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in Me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in Me, He says, I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So let's pause here for a second, because you might be here today and you're thinking, I can't do nothing without the Holy Spirit. No, you can do a lot of things. You can do lots of things you can without the Holy Spirit, but it adds up to what Jesus says is really nothing. You could be smart, you could be happy, you could have all the things of the world, and it still ends with this empty void. He says, if you remain in Me and I in you, you will have much fruit, meaning that you will have productivity in your life. My first full-time job outside of high school when I graduated was called an orchardist thinner. That's what I was. And I had to wake up at 4 a.m. to thin apples from apple trees. Now, I don't know if you know much about apple trees, but apple trees, especially this time of the year, will start having clusters of apples in one section. So someone had to go in and you thin out the apples. You would actually take down 2 or 3 apples so that the other apples will grow and not be shrunk because of so many apples around it. It's called being a thinner. In the same way, the Holy Spirit comes and thins the things out of our lives that's not productive. He comes in and we should allow the Holy Spirit to pluck out the things in our lives that don't lead us to Christ or to abide in Christ. Let me put it this way. You and I are roughly making 2,000 decisions per hour. We roughly have 35,000 thoughts per day and approximately 2 decisions every minute. We make decisions about how we brush our teeth. We make decisions on what we wear today. We make decisions on what type of deodorant you want to wear. We take decisions on where to go for lunch today. You're making decisions right now to say, should I listen to this or should not I listen to this? Should I apply this in my life or not? We make decisions about everything that we can make. But here in this context, to abide or to remain in Christ Jesus is to be dwelling in the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit dwells with us in the New Testament narrative, He actually helps us with our decision making. He comforts us and empowers us and provides us with Spirit-led decisions in our everyday life. One of the best things I can say with this is God's Word. I'm a better person. Dare I say I'm a better pastor, I'm a better husband, and a better dad when I'm in God's Word. And I try to read it every day. One of my goals every year is to read the Bible from cover to cover. That's just who I am. I'm not suggesting you do that. But if you are not reading God's word, there's actually a Bible in front of you. That Bible is a gift from us to you. You can take it. And I encourage you to start reading in John and in Proverbs. Just one chapter a day. It will change your life. It will help you make spirit-led decisions. It will actually help you to be indwelling in the Holy Spirit. And it will change your life. So the first thing that we can do to be spirit-led is to abide in Christ. To trust him when he thins out the areas of our life that's not productive. And to be in God's word. That's the best place that I would share with you what it means to abide in Christ. But secondly, being spirit-led is having the characteristics of Christ. A few years later, about 30 years later, Paul put it this way, as he was being inspired with Jesus' words that we just listened to, in Galatians chapter 5, 22 to 23, it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So let me unpack this today. There's 9 characteristics that you see here. These are characteristics of a spirit-led person by Christ. Paul illustrates this in Ephesians as well. Don't be drunk with wine, he says, because it'll ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. So let me pause on what this really means. Paul is saying here that when we are drunk with wine, he's not just saying fermented drink. He's talking about the culture of the world. You see, Ephesus at this time was a place that was a party place. It was a place where you went. It was the second largest city of the known world at that time. It was mostly a wealthy part of the world, and people went to Ephesus to party. And so when it came to being drunk with wine, it was the things of the culture. So Paul is saying, why be full of the stuff of the world? Why are you drinking and being drunk with the world when you could be filled with the Holy Spirit? A couple weeks ago, Anik and I, on Friday night as youth, so we went on a little date. And we watched the Montreal Canadiens lose that game 7, unfortunately. But we went to a hockey game and we watched it downtown in this area, Main Street. And on our way back from watching the Montreal Canadiens lose their game, there was a bunch of young adults coming down the street. And there was one person visibly not there. He was stumbling around and all his friends was carrying him. He couldn't connect with anyone. He was slurring. He was in control of wine or not the Holy Spirit. And he was being controlled by the things of this world. So Paul puts it this way as an image. Why are you being controlled by the things of this world where you can be controlled by the Holy Spirit? So these 9 characteristics is, first of all, a spiritual fruit with Christ. The Holy Spirit is meant to control our lives. And this person that we saw on Main Street, he could not walk, he could not talk. He was slurring with his voice. Good thing he had good friends to take care of him that night. But being filled with the Spirit, as we see here, is being controlled by the Spirit. So we have to ask ourselves, what does it mean to be controlled by the Spirit? It's the first 3 characteristics of the fruit. To be controlled by the Spirit is to be controlled by love. This love is not a human love. This is an unconditional, purpose-filled, heavenly love that only Jesus gives. In our world, we try to find love. We love the idea of love. We want to be loved. But we can only love by being and experiencing heavenly love through the Holy Spirit. So a spiritual being filled, controlled by the Spirit, is being controlled by God's love. The second one is being controlled by God's joy. Now, joy is not based on a good feeling, but a condition. You know, we experience joy when our favorite soccer team wins a game, or you get a promotion at work. That's happiness, but joy is in the Lord. Joy means, another word, to delight in. It's something that it's deeper than just happiness. Our world says, do what you want. Do what makes you happy. You should be happy. Be happy in your relationships. Our world says that we should be obsessed with our own happiness. But happiness is an emotion, and it's only fleeting. Happy only lasts for now, not forever. But joy in the Lord lasts forever. It lasts not just forever, but for now. In our everyday circumstances, the highs and lows of life. Joy in the Lord is a centered condition for our souls. We are called to be controlled by the Holy Spirit in love and joy. Again, we see this in a secular context in the book of Romans. May the God of hope fill you with all joy, he says, and peace as you trust in him, so that you may be overflowing with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So a sign of the Holy Spirit, of course, we talk about tongues, but one sign is being filled by the characteristics of Christ. And the third one is his peace. Peace not from circumstances, but within circumstances. He fills us. But not only does he fill us spiritually, he fills us relationally. The next three characteristics, really quickly, is this reality of enduring, or to have a steadfastness, to have a long time approach of not getting angry with others. Again, this is not just a great concept. This is a reality that we have as followers of Jesus. Followers of Jesus are meant to exercise like a personal trainer, trying to bring out the best in us. The Holy Spirit wants to bring out the best in you, the best for your marriage, best for your kids, best for your life, as you follow him in a relational context, how you reveal Christ in your relationships. And the last one is a personal one. A personal fruit in ourselves. This is not just the context of loving yourself. This is the context of allowing Christ to love you well. So there's a call as Spirit-led people to be faithful, gentle, and self-control. What's interesting, if you read the book of Galatians, it's all about a book called works. That you have to work for salvation. That you have to work for life. That everything in life is about works. Works of the flesh. But actually, Paul says, it's not about the works of the flesh, it's the works of the Spirit in you. So you don't have to work, you just kind of flow. I don't know if you know this, but younger people actually don't want to work. They want to flow. They want to find something that they love to do and to do it well and to make money from it. That's what they would do. And rather than even have a job, they'll do it online. And they'll try to do it online to make themselves free and full of joy. They want to do that. It's not necessarily a bad thing, but without the Lord, it doesn't lead to fruitfulness or being productive, just busyness and more of the secular things of our culture. But as followers of Jesus, we're called not just to work, we're called to flow in the Holy Spirit. And through the Holy Spirit, there's productivity. So we think to ourselves in our human minds, oh man, I have to be self-control, or I have to be gentle, faithful. No, those are things that flow out of you as you seek the Holy Spirit. To be faithful means to be trustworthy. To be gentle means to be humble, to be self-aware enough to know of your needs for the Lord. To have self-control means that you're not losing control, you're giving control over to the Holy Spirit. And Paul concludes that human nature wants to control you, the works of the flesh, or the Spirit that flows within you. And the last one is this: being Spirit-led is being fruitful for Christ. Paul distinguishes us that are we Spirit-led or are we works-led? And he thinks of these thoughts in this way. As we continue with the Galatians narrative, he says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, we should keep in step or walk with the Spirit. Meaning that outwardly, the Spirit is not just speaking in tongues and interpretation. Even though those are very important, it's being in tune of the Spirit through the characteristics of Christ. Let me put it this way for all my theologians in the room. Moses, as you know, was known for many different things. He had a reputation. And one of his reputations was he walked with God. It's in Exodus chapter 34. And you help me today. He walked with God so much that he had a relationship. There's a key term there. He walked face to face with God, right? And when he walked face to face to God, the people of God would be kind of scared of Moses because he would illuminate. There was a glow to him. There was a flow to him about spending time with God. This is why we worship too. When we worship, we actually illuminate Christ. We become different people, but that's Moses. In the New Testament narrative, we also see this with Jesus. Jesus in Matthew chapter 17, it's called the Transfiguration. Jesus changed. He illuminated the glory of God. It's called Shekinah glory. It's the very nature of who God is. And in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon people and people would prophesy, or there would be gifts, or there would be some type of illumination of the Spirit working. But the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, friends, did not dwell in a person. It dwelt through an occasion, a task, or a moment. But in the New Testament narrative, because of Jesus, the Holy Spirit now lives within you. The Holy Spirit lives within you. And because of the Holy Spirit living in you means that we are called to illuminate Christ. So how does this mean? If you are a follower of Jesus today and you confess that Jesus actually lives in your heart as soul and Lord of your life, that means the Holy Spirit now lives within you. And as you seek the Lord, the Holy Spirit has more control in your life. He fills you with the characteristics of Christ, his love, to love others well, and to have a personal love in Christ. And this is a steady foundation for you and I in an unsteady, fearful, fear-filled world. And just like any three-legged stool, as you know, has a foundation, it's the same with you. It's the same with me. If we want to be Spirit-led people, then we become like the characteristics of Christ by the fruit of the Spirit, to indwell in his presence, and to have the characteristics of Christ. My question for you today is, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Are you seeking the characteristics of the Spirit in your life? How can the Holy Spirit dwell in you this week? Maybe you're here today and you're like, I don't know how to do that. Well, here's three practical ways that you can invite the Holy Spirit to fill you in everyday life. It's not just an instantaneous or a continuous, it's an everyday indwellment of the Spirit of God in our life. It's not just miracles, signs, and wonders, even those are secondary. The best wonder that God has done is that the Holy Spirit now dwells in you and transforms you to be more like Jesus. So we pray for the Holy Spirit to indwell in you. It's that simple. I remember this one time as a youth pastor, someone really wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And they would come up for ministry time saying, I haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit. I haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit. So one Sunday before church, as she is in the washroom, she says, Lord, I pray that you would fill me with the Spirit. And in the washroom, the Holy Spirit came upon her. She started to speak in tongues. God started to speak to her in dreams and visions. And she started to cry because she's like, I've been trying to be filled with the Holy Spirit all my life. And I'm in the bathroom and the Holy Spirit comes upon me in this spontaneous, continuous way. But each of us, even if you are Spirit-led and you've experienced the Spirit, you can experience the Spirit every day. It's continually allowing you to have the characteristics of Christ. Each morning, it's a great way to ask, Holy Spirit, would you indwell in me today? As I am in math class, can you empower me with your Spirit to be like Jesus to my friends? Lord, I have a business meeting that I need to go to this Monday. Lord, indwell in me. Fill me with your presence. Give me success today. Whatever that looks like for you, ask the Holy Spirit to indwell, to impart, to have control over your life, so that the Lord will lead you and transform you. That's the second thing you could do today. You invite the Holy Spirit to transform you into the likeness of Christ. There's many things as a pastor that we walk with people one-on-one. We call it pastoral care, pastoral visitation. You know what makes pastoral care really easy? We just point people back to Jesus. You're stressed out? We'll bring your stress to the Lord. You're having marriage issues? God bless you. Bring your marriage issues to the Lord. You don't know what to do next week because you are full of anxiety or stress or fear? You bring it to the Lord. You know who's a better counselor than pastors? It's the Holy Spirit. The word Holy Spirit means to comfort, to counsel, to guide. And maybe you're here today and there's some things in your areas of your life that you need the Holy Spirit to transform. Continually to ask him, Lord, give me perspective when it comes to my finances or when it comes to my anxiety, when it comes to my depression, when it comes to my human brokenness. I invite you, Holy Spirit. And there's times when we're meeting with people one-on-one and they have such a hard time to release their stuff to the Lord in prayer. That's all they need to do. And we truly trust that God's going to redeem you and transform you. It might not be instantaneous, but it is continual as you invite the Holy Spirit to transform you. And what God transforms us to is his likeness, not our likeness. He transforms us into the likeness of Christ. And the third one, pray for the Holy Spirit to free you. This might sound simple, but in Galatians as well, Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, it's not in your notes, but you can write this in your margin. Again, we've gone through Galatians. It is for freedom that Christ sets us free, meaning that Christ has come to set you free from sin, shame, guilt, darkness, anger, but he asks us by the power of the Holy Spirit to refill those areas of our lives with his Spirit, with his characteristics, with his love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and self-control. He fills us so that we can be transformed. But you have to ask him to. You have to invite the Holy Spirit to lead you and to guide you and to invite you. And so as pastors, when someone comes to us and says, hey, I'm dealing with an issue, it's not just us saying, hey, why don't you bring it to Jesus? We actually practice that in real day life. We allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you because he's the counselor of all counselors. He's the one that transforms us to be Spirit-led people. So today, as I'm going to ask the band to come forward for worship, and we go through a time of response, I'm going to ask you to stand today. And this is an opportunity for us to simply pause in our everyday life and ask, am I filled with the Holy Spirit? Am I being Spirit-led? As Paul has said, he says that we crucify the flesh, and since then we live by the Spirit. We walk with the Spirit in everyday life. So in your own way, where you are, I encourage you to even pray, Holy Spirit, fill me today. Fill me. But maybe you're here today and there's blockages to the Spirit. We heard a word of God last week that sometimes we hold anger and bitterness that actually hinders the Spirit from working in us. Sometimes unbelief or busyness or sinful nature blocks what the Spirit wants to do in our lives, but you don't have to handle that yourself. You bring it to the Lord. And you ask God to free you from those areas. And we will worship and sing songs. And as we do, we believe that God will reveal himself to you. And just like Moses had a relationship with God face to face, just like Jesus had on the transfiguration on the mount, just as Saul had a life-altering encounter with the living God on the road to Damascus in Acts 9, that he wasn't even looking for it. We all need these experiences. We see with Moses too, as he was called back to set God's people free from slavery in Egypt, he had a burning bush moment first. You see, God speaks to us so that we can have a burning bush moment. that God speaks to us through His Spirit, so that we would be indwelling, transformed, and illuminating Christ, just like Moses did in the Old Testament narrative, just like Jesus did on the Transfiguration, just as we see with Paul. He transforms us to be the likeness of Christ. So I'm going to ask our prayer workers to come forward, Pastor Paul and Janice, others if you want, where these places are just a time of ministry. If you have any requests, any need today, we want you to bring it to the Lord. And today in prayer, as we look at freedom, you can't experience freedom until you bring your things to the Lord first. It is for freedom that Christ set you free. That means that if you want to find freedom from sin, you got to bring your sin to the Lord. If you want freedom from fear, you got to bring your fear to the Lord. If you want freedom from self-reliance and human brokenness, you got to bring your self-reliance and human brokenness to the Lord. If you want to experience freedom from unbelief or whatever that looks like in your own context, or you think that God is not the God that we have sang about, you got to bring those things to the Lord, and then you will experience freedom. Freedom from sin, freedom from shame, freedom from guilt. But it's up to you. Just like me, as experienced a personal trainer in my life, I don't benefit from a personal trainer unless I do what he says. I can spend lots of money and time and effort, but if I don't actually practice what my personal trainer has given me, then I'm not experiencing those benefits. In the same way, the Holy Spirit is like a personal trainer for your soul. But you will not experience the benefits of what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life until you start practicing what it means to be Spirit-led, as we talked about today. And so in worship, ask yourself, invite the Holy Spirit, as we mentioned. Lord, fill me, indwell in me, transform me, and set me free. And if you have a prayer request, you have a ministry need, let us pray with you. Let us walk with you. So Holy Spirit, we invite you to speak to us, to lead us, to guide us, to be our personal trainer for our souls today. And as we worship you, Lord, as we allow you to speak to us, as we seek you, Lord, we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would lead us to freedom and wholeness and healing. In Jesus' name, let's sing together. Let's worship together.